Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. How many glad to be in the house of God tonight? How many of you feel like God's got something to say to you? Yeah, well, get your eyes off the minister. Get your eyes off the person. Get your heart on the Lord, and God talk to you tonight. Amen. Through his word, through his spirit. You have your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I was meditating on this, on my message, you know, just reviewing my notes about 3 o'clock this morning. I was up going over my notes for tonight and just review them. And I had a different title, but this title popped in my head about 3 o'clock this morning. And here's my title tonight. I give it to you right away. Winners don't whine and whiners don't win. Help me with that title. Look at somebody and tell them winners don't whine and whiners don't win. Help me one more time. Look at somebody else. Tell them winners don't whine and whiners don't win. Yeah, that's what we're talking about tonight. You have your Bible. Let's go straight to the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from New American Standard Version. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 13, if that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Winners don't whine and whiners don't win. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened, listen now, verse 6. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did. 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Verse 10 now. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, that they were written and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Finally, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. This morning, Pastor Craig brought a word, and if you didn't hear that, it was an excellent, excellent word. And God must have a theme for today, because the theme that he gave me, winners don't whine and whiners don't win, is different, but along that same line. And so what do the people of God need to do? Take heed. We all need to examine ourselves. Do some inventory tonight on your mouth and on your thoughts and how we treat other people. Here in this scripture that I read in 1 Corinthians 10, there are two glaring warnings to you and I as members of the body of Christ that should get our attention every time we read it. I read verse 6. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And then verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. And right above that, at verse 10 said, don't grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. You know, life is hard. Has anybody ever figured that out? Life can be hard sometimes. I read a top 10 list of the hardest things to do. There's several lists. I made my own list. I read several lists. I made my own list. But I agreed that all the lists that I saw, you could make a case for all those things. Like someone said, parenting is in that top 10 list. One of the hardest top 10 things to do if you're a parent. How many, I got any parents know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got a bunch of hands there. Yeah. Yeah. You know, somebody else said that trying to get a job after you've lost a job, trying to find a job is one of the hardest things to do on the top 10 list. Still somebody else has on their top 10 list the loss of a loved one. Anybody ever experienced the loss of a loved one, someone that she loves in heaven? Yeah. Still, somebody in this very congregation would say, well, you know, on my top 10 list of the hardest things to do, overcoming addiction. How many know that'd be hard? That'd be a tough thing to do. Some young person would say tonight that one of the hardest things to do on their top 10 list is completing your education. It's not easy. Yeah. Still, somebody says going through a divorce, one of the hardest things you can do. Suffering loss or rejection, one of the hardest things you can do. Learning to forgive somebody who has hurt you, one of the, and on and on and on. Life can be hard. But do you know, as a believer tonight, God destined you and I to win. It doesn't matter which of those top 10, whether I named your top 10 thing or I didn't, God has still destined you to win. And that ought to bring some rejoicing. That ought to be some praise in God, because the victory that Jesus won has become our victory. Glory be to God. And it really doesn't matter what it is that you have to do that may be so hard. Christ has already won the victory. He's already finished the job. He's already completed the task. He gave the victory to us. You ought to be glad about that. I said, we have victory tonight because Jesus is our victor and he gave us the victory. Glory to God. So we can overcome in every situation in life. And you may have been through a divorce like me. Christ will cause you to overcome in that situation. You may be looking for a job. He'll cause you to overcome. You may be seeking to maintain your health, the health of your body. Hey, he'll cause you to, he's already won the victory. Whatever your situation, we can stand tonight and boldly proclaim, because of the finished, accomplished work of Jesus, that we are victorious in him. And God gave Joshua the answer. Joshua had something really hard to do. He gave Joshua a really hard job. And when Moses went up on Mount Nebo and he didn't come back, Moses had gone up on the mountain so many times, but when he went up on Mount Nebo that time, he didn't come back. And Joshua was waiting for his leader to come down off the mountain. When Moses didn't come back, God spoke to him in Joshua chapter 1. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's not coming back. He's passed on into heaven now. And God told him, you're going to lead these people. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave him, not only, it was hard enough just for him to lead the children of Israel after Moses. But think about this. Then the Lord waited, Joshua 4, till the Jordan River was at flood stage. And he said, now you're going to cross. And then I'm sure Joshua was thinking, well, where is that rod? Where is Moses' rod? Let me try to find that rod, because, you know, they crossed the Red Sea. Let me try to find that rod. God said, The priests are going to get the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests are going to get in the water in obedience to what I've told them. And when I see the feet of, when I see their feet standing in the water, standing by faith, standing, saying, I've got the victory no matter what. When I see their feet in the water of faith, I'm going to part the water. Yes, he did. It was hard. And God gave him the victory. He gave him the clue right away in Joshua 1:8. Remember when he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And remember what God told him? You meditate in the word day and night, then your way will be prosperous and everything you'll do will be successful. Yeah. Said the same thing in Psalm 1 verse 3. Psalm 1 verse 3. You make your way prosperous. How? Meditating in the word day and night. So it really doesn't matter what our difficulty is. God, A, has destined us to win. And B, if we'll do it his way, we'll walk right in the victory. I said amen. But here in 1 Corinthians, there are two distinct and glaring warnings to you and I as believers. And then it is, the warning is, watch your mouth. You better watch what you let come out of your mouth, what you let go into your ear, because if you're going to walk in the victory that Christ himself has won for you, you're going to have to control what comes off your tongue. And so often when people are going through something hard, going through something tough, the easiest thing to do is start grumbling, stumbling, mumbling, fumbling, complaining. And people start grumbling. You know, Israel turned a two-week journey to the promised land, turned that into a 40-year ordeal because of their mouth grumbling. And if you're going to walk in the victory, you're going to have to stop that grumbling. You're going to have to stop that mumbling. Oh, my dad and I were best friends. Oh, man, we used to love when I'd go to Jersey. This time of year, I'd go to Jersey, and we'd put his boat in the water. We had so much fun. Every time I'd get on a plane, fly to Jersey, and we'd get that. He had a 30-foot Sea Ray, and, oh, man, we'd put that thing in the water, and we'd put it in the just a nice, comfortable cruising gear and head out to the Atlantic. And, any topic of conversation, we would have a time. One time we were on the boat. My dad was a new believer then. He was a brand new believer. He just got born again. We're on the boat. And I'm driving the boat. He starts talking. He didn't like something about it that his pastor did. A traveling evangelist had come to their church back in Jersey. And the traveling evangelist got off of an old beat-up bus, over-the-road bus. And the pastor, the Lord put it on the pastor's heart of my dad's church, let's just buy them a new bus. They're doing the work of the Lord. And the pastor took up a collection that day, way back then, in the 80s, took up $80,000 collection, gave it to the evangelist. The evangelist bought a brand new over-the-road bus. I said, that's a blessing. But my dad didn't like that. It wasn't a blessing to him. He said, so we're on the boat. He starts saying, I don't know why my pastor did that. He never should have done that. He gave him $80,000. Never should have done that. I took it for a minute in a strong manner. And that's my dad, and I love him. But I turned to him respectfully and said, Dad, I'm not going to listen to that. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not going to listen to you run down your pastor. He said, well, I'm not running him down. I just agreed with his decision. I said, well, it wasn't your decision. You don't have anything to say about it. You should just, if anything, pray for your pastor. I said, is the man of God lying, stealing, cheating? He said, no, of course not. I said, you don't have anything. You ought to just spend your time praying for him. How do you know God didn't tell him to take that offering? That's between him and the Lord. And I'm not going to sit here. And he said, but that was a lot of money. I said, I don't care what that was. That was none of your business. But I said, let's change the subject, Dad, because I'm not going to sit here and let you run your pastor down. I love you. You're my dad. But I'm not going to sit here and let you run your pastor down like that. It ain't right. And I'm not going to sit and listen to it. We changed the subject. A few months later, my dad thanked me for all that. Took a few months to get to that. He said, Bill, thank you. I didn't know any better. I was growing in faith, growing in Christ, grumbling. I didn't know any better. He said, thank you, son. I said, oh, Dad, you know, we're all learning and growing. You better watch what you're saying. Two distinct warnings. And the Bible says about this, that Israel, oh, man, that they started craving the wrong things. They started grumbling, and really negative things happened. What happened is they got out from under the protection of God. I hope you'll hear me tonight. I hope you'll hear what the Lord is saying to you through his word and through his spirit. Because, listen, you start grumbling, you're going to get yourself out from under the protection of God. You better watch your mouth. And not just your mouth, we have to watch our mouth. We have to watch our, because our mouth has to do with how we talk. But our mind has to do with how we think, talk, think. But our actions have to do with how we treat other people, talk, think, treat others. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And the thing about it is you can get yourself right out from under that protection that God has you under. And that's what happened to Israel. They were under God's protection. They were under the umbrella of his protection until they opened their mouth again, grumbling and again complaining. Okay, you lost your job. I knew I was going to lose my job. I knew I was going to lose that job. I always lose my. You better watch your mouth. Okay, you went through a divorce. Oh, you know how they did me. You see what they did to me. Oh, you better watch your mouth and learn how to walk in love and learn how to forgive. If you're going to stay under that protection, that hedge of protection that God has around you, why would you get out from under the umbrella? Tony and I were walking, it was raining, I had the umbrella over, and she's trying to move out from under. I said, girl, what you trying to get out from under the umbrella for? She said, oh, baby, I was trying to get something. I said, you get out from under, this is as far as the umbrella is extended. You get out from under there, you're going to get wet. But the same thing happens to you and I as believers. God will protect us all he can. His umbrella of protection is around us. His angels have encompassed us about, and we're steady trying to get out from under the umbrella with our mouth. You won't get no amen teaching like this. Somebody said, brother, this is going to be one of those non-amen sermons. That's all right. I got all my amens at 3 a.m. this morning when I was meditating. Let's go to what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is referring to, specific incidents. Go with me to the book of Numbers chapter 16, if you will. Numbers chapter 16. The warnings in 1 Corinthians 10 are specific. And they are referencing, cautioning us about some things that transpired in Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16. I'll cut through the first part of this. Let me just say that I'll start at 23. But the first part of this is there are some people in the congregation of Israel who disagree with Moses and Aaron after the children of Israel have come out of the land of Egypt. And they disagreed so vehemently with Moses and Aaron that they were saying foolish and nonsensical things. For example, they said here in number 16, Moses and Aaron, you made a bad decision. You led us out of Egypt. And they said this, Egypt was our promised land. Well, that was stupidity. They had been slaves for 430 years in Egypt. And they said Egypt was our land flowing with milk and honey when God promised them Canaan land was the land flowing with milk and honey. But this man, Korah, and his associates, they began to say, no, Egypt was the promised land. Egypt was the land filled with milk and honey when you read the first half of the chapter. And they started saying to Moses and Aaron, we don't like you, and God hasn't only spoken to you, he's spoken to us too. And you're not all that. That's my own reference there. But anyway, that's what they were saying. And they were saying, God spoke to us too. God hasn't only spoken to you. Who do you think you are? And they were complaining against their leaders, Aaron and Moses. And I understand it was hard. Historians go back and say there were 2.5 million people who marched out of Egypt. First of all, when they marched out, the Bible says in Psalms, there was not one feeble person among them. God healed every one of them when they marched out. I said, only a mighty God can do that. And then they went 3 days and they didn't have any water. You know what they did? They started grumbling. Just like 1 Corinthians 10 warns. Don't grumble like they did. They should have been in faith. They should have said, the same God who caused one plague, two plagues, three plagues, 10 plagues, the same God who busted us up out of Egypt is the same God who will bring us water in this desert. They should have been saying, the same God who gave me a job before is the same God who will give me a better job now. They should have been saying, the same God who healed my body back then will do it again. He'll heal my body. Christ has already performed it, and I have already received it, and he's the same God who's my healer today. I said, they should have been saying, there's no addiction that can hold me. There's no trouble that can hold me down. There's no problem that can hold me down. Christ is my answer. Christ is my victory. They should have been saying that. They should have been saying, oh, I may have been through a divorce, but it's not over. God is my healer. He's the healer of my heart. He's the restorer of my life, and God will bring me back again. That's what they should have been saying. But they started saying, who plan was this? Who bring 2.5 million people out into a desert and they ain't got no water? There ain't no water, no Fiji water. There ain't no Dasani water. There ain't even no Great Value water. You can't even get, you know, non-name brand water out here in this desert. Who plan was this? And they grumble. And God watched them grumble. And you know the story. God bought water from a rock. Pastor Craig preached today. He bought manna from heaven. They got tired of all that. They said, we're tired of all this manna. You know the story. He bought quail from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they kept saying, can God provide? Can God make a way? Can God provide? In Psalm 78, can God provide? Can God make a way? Can God make a table in the desert? And if we're not careful, we sound just like them. But there's a warning tonight. Because they got themselves out under the umbrella, out from under God's protection. And their big mouths grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. You know, in Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. It's a powerful warning. Things are hard. Okay, we get it. Everybody's got something hard to do. And if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. I used to have a boss who said it all the time. He said, if it was easy, anybody would do it. It was not easy from the beginning. Okay, you got hard things that you have to do. Okay, God knows that. But do you know the Bible also says you can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:13, who what? Strengthens you. Why not let that come out of your mouth? And so over and over and over again, they undid their faith. They undid their prayers. The very things they were standing in faith about, they undid all of it through their grumbling and through their complaining. Ooh, brother doing a better job teaching than I am getting amen. I can see I ain't getting no amen on this sermon. So the first half, they said, you're not, God has spoken to us too, and he hadn't just spoken to you. But then listen to verse 23 real quick. Let me read 23 down for a few verses for you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwelling of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And then Moses arose and went to Dothan and Abiram with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing that belongs to them, or you will be swept away in all their sin. So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, for this is not my doing. And if these men die the death of all the men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. And as he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah, and their possessions, so that they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. There were 250 people who were standing with Korah. They were leaders. They were sub-leaders in Israel. And the other part, you know, in the first half of the scripture, Moses asked to meet with them. I'm sure he would have tried to talk them out of it and get them to repent. But they wouldn't even meet with Moses. Moses called a meeting. They wouldn't even come to the meeting. And so Moses said, tomorrow you're going to see who God's leading through, who God's talking through. Tomorrow you'll see it. And on the next day, God told him, tell Korah, all those who are complaining, all of them who are complaining, tell them all to stand together in one group. Get them all. He said, no, get them all. Everybody. Whoever else is complaining? Grandma want to get in there? Okay, let grandma. Anybody else who want to get in there? Anybody else complaining? Auntie want to get in? Okay, let auntie get in. Anybody else want to get in? All you stand with Korah. There were 250 people standing with him. Now, other scriptures, I don't have time to go into this, but other scriptures say some of Korah's sons got out of that crowd. they backed out of that crowd. They could see what was about to happen. They had good sense enough to get away from them. And Moses said, all right, now, anybody else want to get in? And he said, now, everybody else, get away from them. Get away from them. And while Moses was still speaking, the ground opened up and swallowed them alive, whole, sucked them down, just like that. And they were all instantly gone. Now, in my mind, in Bill's mind's eye, I bet you that was one amazing church service, that next church service after that. I bet you everybody was on time for church. They was all there for Sunday school. They all showed up on the link team. Woo, they said, that Brother Moses, don't talk about Pastor Moses. No, nobody better talk about Pastor Moses. I don't want to hear nothing about Pastor Moses. Pastor Moses, everything is all right. That's our man of God. And you would think that that would be enough for people to learn, to shut their mouth, to watch their thoughts, to watch how they're treating people, their talking, their thinking, their treatment of others. You would think that would be enough. But indulge me just a moment further. Because in Numbers 16, if you look down at verse 41, it says, But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who caused the death of the Lord's people." And it came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of the meeting. Behold, the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censers, put it in the fire from the altar, and lay incense on it, and bring it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun." And then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. And so he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700 besides those who died on account of Korah. Those were 250. And then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked. Don't let your mouth or your thoughts get you out from under the protection of God. Don't let your treatment of other people get you out from under God's protecting hand. He is a protector. He is a provider. But you will walk yourself right out from under that with the wrong words. All that grumbling, stumbling, mumbling, complaining. Listen, what you ought to do is pray for people. Instead of using all that injury, mumbling, stumbling, complaining, all that, pray for people. And if you're not really, go with me real quick. First Samuel 18. If you're not, let me show you something about your thought life that applies to every single one of us. Have to be mindful of our thoughts, because our words can get us in trouble. But let me tell you this, our thoughts can get us in trouble. And when you see verse 18, verse 6. Let me read this real quick. I'm in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. I'm going to switch just real quick for a minute. Talk about thoughts. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out from all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. And then Saul became angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they ascribe thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" Verse 9, Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day forward. Saul's life spiraled right out of control. You know why? He refused to control his thoughts. When he heard the words of that song, the greatest enemy to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not Satan, because he's already defeated. He is an enemy. But he's under our feet. He's defeated. Our greatest enemy is wrong thinking and wrong believing. Brother won't get an amen teaching like that. So Saul had the wrong thoughts. He listened to the words of that song, and he let the wrong thought in his mind. And he started meditating on the wrong thought. "Oh, they said David slain 10,000. To me, they said only slain 1,000. And the Bible says he looked at David with suspicion from that day. Shortly after that, he tries to pin David to the wall with a spear. He throws a spear at him, point blank range, twice. But the Bible says God protected. David was under the protecting hand of God. Yeah. What was wrong? His thought life. What was wrong with Korah and his associates? They're grumbling. It was how they were talking. What was wrong with Saul? How he was thinking. Last, go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. God's done so much for us. God's provided so much for us. His hedge of protection is around us. His angels are with us. The promises of his word have secured us. Genesis 50, verse 20. Oh, you know where I'm going. These are the words of Joseph after his brothers lied on him, treated him like everything but a child of God. And Joseph, when he had the moment to get him back, it was Joseph's great moment to get him back, to pay him back. "I'm going to get you back." That was the furthest thing from Joseph's heart. And you can see why this man was so blessed. Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you," Joseph said, "you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result and to preserve many people alive." Joseph said, "You did me wrong, but God turned it around." And I want you to know tonight that God, he's the God of the turnaround. And if you'll treat people right, in spite of how people may treat you. And so often we're responding to people and we say, "Well, you treated me like that, I'm going to treat you like that." And that's the way to lose your blessing. That's the way to get out from under God's protection. We've got to walk in the love of Jesus. We've got to walk in love with people. And the Bible says, love our enemies. And God is the God, he's the God of the turnaround. And what someone meant for evil, he can turn it for our good. And the same person who did you wrong, the same person who did you dirty, I'm not condoning what they did to you, but let me tell you this, God will turn it around for your good. If you'll walk in love and watch how you talk and watch how you think and watch how you treat other people. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share in this time what you laid on our heart. And Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And Father, thank you that you've destined us to win. And winners don't whine, and whiners don't win. And Father, life can be hard down here, but you are the one, you send us the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. Oh, he's the paraclete, the one called alongside to help us. He's a guide. He's a teacher. He's a helper. He is the one who leads us. He is an advocate. He's a comforter. He's a consoler. He's a counselor. Thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you said it's to your advantage that I go away. If I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. If I don't go away, I can't send him. But I'll send him to help you in every situation you face. Thank you. We have the validity of the Holy Spirit and the power of your holy word. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity as the Lord's directed this message tonight. Nobody's looking at you. But you want to go on record and say, "I've been grumbling. I've been complaining. I've been grumbling, complaining, and I want to go on record." You might say, "Hey, you know what? I've let the wrong thoughts in my mind. I've been entertaining the wrong thoughts. The wrong thinking is my problem." Somebody else says, I haven't been walking in love. I haven't been treating. Let me see your hand. I'm not going to make you come down here. I just want to just be honest with God and say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." Okay, all over. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Praise God. It's all over. Father, you see honest hearts. You see lifted hands and honest hearts. And so I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has made atonement for us, for the wrong words, the wrong thoughts, the wrong treatment of others. Thank you that the efficacy of the blood of Jesus has atoned. And Father, we thank you for forgiveness through that blood. And Father, strengthen people. There were so many hard things for people to do as people face Monday morning, as people face the next part of the week or the month or the year. Life can be tough. Thank you, we have the assurance of your word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have the promise of your word. Meditate in the word day and night, and then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll find success. We have the promise of your word. Psalm 1:3, whatever he does prospers. So thank you for strengthening, helping, and delivering. Now, just before we go, and your eyes are still closed, your heads are bowed, is there anybody here tonight? You don't know what would happen to you if you died tonight. If you left this earth, God forbid, you left this earth tonight, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. You're not sure you're right with God. You're not sure where you stand. Would you let me pray for you tonight? Lift your hand. You say, "Brother Bill, I don't know if I'd go to heaven tonight. Help me, ushers." Lift your hand. Let me know. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, but the ushers are helping me. But lift your hand. You say, I don't know. Are you here tonight like that? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. You may be here saying, I've never given my life to Jesus. I would like an opportunity to give my life to Christ. I don't know. Like Korah and them, they were sucked down into Sheol, and their life ended on that day, on that spot. You say, "Oh, boy, what would happen to me?" If you've never given your life to Jesus, let me pray for you. You may be here saying, "I'm backslidden. I know I've given my life to Christ, and I know I'm not living right." I got some things I need to straighten out. Well, you don't need to straighten it out. Let Jesus has already straightened it out. And if you'll just obey him and walk in it, but let me pray for you. He's already done the work. All you have to do is obey him. And by obey him, come forward and admit it. Let me pray for you. Anybody here like that? All right. If you're here and you raised your hand, or you wanted to raise your hand, or you should have raised your hand, whatever it is, I just want you to come down front. Just stand up boldly. Come down front. Let me pray for you. Just boldly come down front and let me pray for you. The Lord's dealing with your heart, and you say, yep, that's me. Come on down here and I'll pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I know that's a long walk, but God's with you. Just face me right here. Just turn face me right here. Praise God. Someone else, come on down. Praise God. Glory to God. God wants to help you tonight. Are you going to let him help you? He wants to help, but you have to be honest. You have to be sincere. And if you'll be honest and sincere, he'll help you. The altar's still open. Come on, God can help you. But you can't shrug him off. You can't push him back. Ladies, what I want you to do is just lift one hand to the Lord. You're not coming to me. You're coming to the Lord. And I'm just going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in the congregation to say it out loud. And I want you to say it out loud as well. Let's just pray this way. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I acknowledge Jesus died for me. His blood was shed for my sins. And I receive him now. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Ladies, I want to thank you for coming forward. This is one of the greatest decisions you could ever make in your life. And this is Reverend Paul and Augusta, his wife. And they're the leaders of the prayer team tonight. And they're going to give you some information, answer any question you have. They're not going to keep you very long, but they do want to give you some materials and answer your question. And if you'll go with them, they're going to keep you a short while, answer your questions, pray for you, and make sure you got everything you came for. If you'll go with them right now, go with them right now. Let's encourage them. You need to get something from your chair. That's okay. Let's encourage them tonight. Praise God. Come on, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. Stretch your hand toward him. Father, we thank you for these ladies tonight. We thank you, Father God, for your love for them. Oh, Father, thank you for strengthening, healing, delivering, empowering them in every area of their life. May their lives never be the same. May your mighty power fall on them in that prayer room, and may they receive everything they came for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friends, that's going to do it tonight. Our prayer room workers are coming forward now. The rest of them are coming down here. The guys are coming to one side. The ladies are coming to another side. And that simply means if you want prayer for anything, you want agreement. You have something hard going on in your life. There's something tough. You want somebody to agree with you. Well, there's power in agreement. And so if you're a guy, come over here to the guys. Ladies, come over here to the ladies. They will pray with you. They're not there to counsel you, but they will pray with you and agree with you. And the power of prayer. You won't leave here like you came. You'll be here on Wednesday for Hour of Power. Be sure to keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, the Hagen family, lifted up in prayer this week. All right? All right. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, then you are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.